Blog Talk Radio.
And it is July 20th, and we're running a special event out of Tampa, Florida, live. As you know, tonight's topic is how to connect with your angels. I want to say hello to all the audience out there, and just wanted to remind you, if you want to find out more about these special events or any of the radio shows that we run on Spiritual Connections Radio, you can go to our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. I'm actually juggling a couple things as usual when I do the special events, so I'll be talking to you on the radio, and I'm also going to take a minute to say hello to my live stream audience. Hello, everybody. We've been getting a lot of great feedback from everybody from around the world. Just heard from some of my friends in Germany and Australia and South Africa, so it's great to hear from everybody. I'm glad you're tuning in. As you know, with both the radio show and the Ustream, everything is available for replay later on. So if you miss any part of this or want to go back to any of the other past workshops that we've done, such as manifesting, which we did a couple Saturdays ago, and about a month ago we did one on past life regression. The great thing about both of those shows is that the past life one has a meditation in it for relaxing, and the manifesting one from a few weeks ago has what's called the Unity Breath meditation in it, which was very powerful for so many people. So thank you for all the great feedback. For most of this, I am going to be talking to a group that's here this evening, live for the class, and I'll say hello to everybody. Hello. And let me just kind of run through a couple different things. So first of all, I want to mention to you that if you're listening to this on the radio or if you're watching this on the Ustream, you can get a flyer that includes the How to Connect with Your Angels meditation, and you can get that directly off my website at www.markarawson.com. It's markarawson.com. So if you go right up there, right underneath the event, there is a link to actually open the PDF, and you'll be able to print out and keep that meditation, which is the one we're actually going to be using today on the show and for the class. I also want to talk for a minute and let you know that normally, as you know, we do events every Saturday, or I should say once a month, but we actually have an event coming up this Saturday. And the reason why we have a special event coming up this Saturday, meaning July 27th, which is a week from today, at 5 p.m., which will be also on radio and Ustream also, is that we're going to do a special event in relation to what's called the Star of David. The Star of David configuration in the universe is a very special event that only comes up probably every 270 years, and it's actually coming up next, not this Monday, but a week from this Monday, which is July 29th. What's so important about the Star of David event is that it's an opportunity for you to put out to the universe as a spiritual person what it is that you want to do to improve the planet and what you can do, but at the same time, along with putting out your intentions as far as what you would like to see, There is also the idea of you asking for what we call dispensation or assistance in whatever it is that you're trying to do. So if you're trying to improve health or things for children or a healthier planet or less pollution, all these different things are possible, with the idea also that when you put in that request that you can also ask for assistance, let it be support of other individuals, support of angels or other beings beyond this earth to help you with those projects. So what we have coming up next Saturday on July 27th is what we call the contract planning stage, which talks about putting together exactly what it is that we want to have as far as our intention, going through some of the ideas behind what we can ask for as far as in return for support. And that's what we'll be doing next Saturday. And on the 29th, and I don't have the exact times in front of me, they're actually will be up on the website on Monday. There is going to be on Monday, which is a week from this Monday, so after Nick Sardi's workshop, is going to actually be the Star David alignment, which will, I think, occur at 1:44 in the afternoon. So we'll actually have a special event for that where we'll have a quiet meditation guided. We'll actually take what we created next Saturday, and we put it out there into the universe to kind of hand it off and say, okay, well, this is what we want to set up. So that's called the Star David event, and that is a free event. There is no donation necessary, as it's all about the planet. So that'll be coming up next Saturday, and then the Monday following event. And you'll see more information for that on the Mark A. Rawson website on Monday. As always, and I like to talk to a lot of people about this as I do this, and I sometimes have to remind myself of this, a lot of what I'm going to teach today is really my understanding of the way I think things are. And that will, in a lot of situations, contradict what a lot of other teachers teach. And I just want to remind you that what I'm teaching today is what I understand as far as what I know so far. And it's good for today. We won't know what will happen tomorrow, as things are always changing and we're always growing. So I just kind of want to put out there that this is just my way, and there's many ways of doing things and many ways of understanding things. So with that, I want to get right into talking about the different type of angels. So as we know, there are all these different classifications of angels, but for this evening, I'm going to talk about two main angels. I'm going to talk about archangels, and I'm going to talk about what I would call guardian angels. And in a little bit, we'll go a little bit further and talk about the difference between angels and guides, and you know, can ancestors or loved ones be angels and stuff like that. So we'll get into all those ideas. So to start off with, we'll start off with the idea of, well, what are archangels? Well, archangels are the what I call the senior level classification of very specific angels created for very specific purposes. From a person who comes from a very big background in technology, and I did a lot of programming for years, I have everything in the classification. So for me, even my angels, I will pull in an angel for a very specific purpose. And then if I'm doing something with somebody and I want to do, and I know it's for a different purpose, I'll actually go and get a different archangel for that purpose. So as an example, when I work with children a lot, I'll bring in Metatron, which is one of the archangels. If I'm doing protection or if I'm cutting energy cords, and we've kind of covered some of what energy cords are and cording and those type of things in past classes, I'll bring in Archangel Michael for that. I use Archangel Michael a lot for protection. I asked Archangel Michael to come in and set the space, not only for here, but also in all your homes and everything else, for setting a layer of what I call a layer or a template of protection that goes into place whenever I do any type of work. So I bring Archangel Michael in for that type of added angelic protection. If I'm working with people with substance abuse or blocks in their life or something that's keeping them from moving forward, I'll bring in Archangel Gabriel. There's plenty of books out there you can read. One of my favorites is from Doreen Virtue, which talks about Ascended Masters, which is a topic for a whole different evening, and archangels. And it's funny because I'll actually lead into a story about how I started to work with angels for the first time. When I first got started, and, you know, we always talk about hindsight and how we can say that we've been on the spiritual path a lot longer than we acknowledge, you know, especially if we look back in hindsight and see a different number of events in our life. For me, I talk about being on the spiritual journey for about 3 years. And that's kind of like, for me, when I talk about Wayne Dyer and the shift, and I talk about going from the corporate world of doing technology in the corporate world for 25 years, and then basically turning around and saying, all right, well, I'm going to go in and start doing teaching. I'm going to get into doing healing work and getting into those aspects of things. That's when I took the shift, and that's when I consider that my spiritual journey really started, because that's when I really put my intention on it and really started to put all my energy into it, including all my time. And with that comes the story about how I started to work with angels, very particularly the archangels Michael and Raphael. I work with Michael for protection, cutting cords. I work with Raphael for mending hearts, dealing with emotional issues, clearing traumas, accidents and stuff from people's hearts. So those two particular angels were the two first angels or archangels that I learned about. And it was through learning and working with them that it actually led me into a year-long study of everything I could find on angels and working with different types of angels and stuff like that. So the story goes like this. I had just finished my level two Reiki. And one of the things that we do is Reiki. And for people who don't know what Reiki is a form of energy healing. It's probably one of the most known healing, what I call modalities, that's out there, because there's about 1,000 healing modalities. Reiki is probably one of the more known ones. It's also one of the most recognized ones where insurance companies are starting to accept Reiki for write-offs. Hospitals will allow it in with their regular care that they're doing, at least some hospitals. So when I started doing Reiki, as a student, you know, we like to practice, and practicing involved creating a group of like-minded Reiki people to do what's called a Reiki share. And with a Reiki share, you basically set up 3 or 4 tables in someone's house. You invite all your Reiki friends in, and then you have everybody bring a friend. And then everybody has a turn on the table, and you have 3 or 4 Reiki people doing this Reiki energy healing on different individuals. I did Reiki shares for probably almost 2 years. And the thing that I really enjoyed about it, besides the fact that I got a chance to work with different people and see how different people heal, and how they experience healing and stuff like that, was the fact that it gave me an opportunity to work on close to 500 people. And I thought that was a really good on-the-job kind of training. As part of that process, one of the things that was interesting was probably about 2 months into my Reiki share experience, I noticed as I was working on somebody that I felt this large energy come in behind me. Now, at the same time, I was just starting up my psychic development classes. I was in a psychic development circle where I was working on my intuitive gifts. And it was during that time period that I was able to make contact and kind of communicate and find out, okay, well, I can ask the question. I'll know exactly what this is, or it's either a knowing or a hearing or whatever your ability is. And for me, I kind of know or I hear exactly what it was. So I said, okay, well, what is this? And I got it was Archangel Michael, and I was like, I hadn't studied a lot about the angels. I had known from Scripture a lot about a lot of the different archangels, but I didn't know from the spiritual aspects of what you would use them for or why they would be there or something like that. And it's interesting because when Archangel Michael comes in for me, there's different feelings I get in my body. For me, when Archangel Michael comes in, it comes in as a shiver right up my spine. And it's a really interesting feeling. It's a different vibrational energy that comes in, and each of the angels actually has a different energy or a different feeling or signature or vibration, as I call it, that you'll notice when you deal with them. And I noticed as I was doing the work that Archangel Michael came in, I didn't have any intention of what I was asking for, nor did I know what to ask. But I just kind of let the angel do the work. And I found out after the fact that the person I was working on had a brain tumor. And you know, that was kind of like I had the feeling afterwards, well, that's why Archangel Michael was there, was also to work on that. And just some amazing healing occurred by doing Reiki with that person for about 6 months with collaboration with regular medicine. You'll always find if you study with me and the different things that I teach that I'm always a big believer in mixing Eastern and Western medicine and ideas. I'm not the kind of person who would say, okay, well, completely go spiritual or completely go medical. I really believe, especially when something manifests in the body like disease, that it takes a collaboration effort to do that. And, you know, just like I'm gifted with the ability to do different things spiritually and healing-wise, there's a lot of people who are gifted who went to school to be psychiatrists and social workers and doctors and surgeons and pharmaceutical specialists and stuff like that. So everybody has a gift. And I think in all the nature of things, as much as we try to think, well, that's strictly medical, I think, and it's interesting because a lot of medical professionals are actually very, very spiritual. And they will actually combine different spirituality things into their practices, and you won't even know it. And I think that was probably one of the things I noticed the most when I went to get my certification to do what's called reconnective healing from Eric Pearl and do the reconnection. That 80% of the group of people were there were all licensed professionals. They were surgeons, doctors, dentists, social workers, physical therapists, and stuff like that. One of the unique things about reconnective healing is that it's done just by looking at somebody and witnessing the healing versus actually moving energy or being a conduit for energy, which a lot of modalities are. Not really through intention, but just from the idea that you're present and the energy flows through you. With reconnective energy, it's more about putting your attention on somebody, allowing that energy to come through, and then witnessing the actual healing that's occurring and seeing that it's actually in progress by looking at different things and stuff like that. So I always tell people, for years when I was going through my healing, Reiki was what you went out and got your certification in to get your feet wet. I think for these days, most people go out and they learn how to do reconnective healing. It's a very powerful and has a lot of studies behind it, a lot of case studies, a lot of evidence about how great the work is. It's got a great set of teachers and, you know, came from a very channeled source when the information came through. So just a very powerful healing technique. So just going back to my story about angels is that, you know, during that first time Archangel Michael came through, I found out after the fact what was going on with the individual. Most of the time when I work with people, I don't want to know what's going on with them as far as the healing I'm doing because I think it gets too much in the way of my ego or something coming to the surface and saying, right, well, I'm going to heal this particular thing. It's better in a lot of situations that you have less information than more. So you go forward like maybe 2 or 3 weeks, a couple more shares, and Michael comes in again, and this time another energy came in, and I was like, all right, well, here's something different that just came in. And I noticed this energy just moved right around and went right over by the heart. And I asked in my mind, I said, well, what is this? And I got it's Archangel Raphael. And that's, you know, that really is the beginning of the first story of when I started to work with angels, specifically related to healing. I do feel them a lot when I do different work with people. Lots of times now it's more of I will call them in based on if I know I'm working on specific things. Lots of times I see them come through. Like I do a lot of remote healing on people. And when I do remote healing on people, because this work, just like readings and doing healing work and everything, can be done with somebody sitting in front of me. It can also be done with them on the other side of the planet. And it has the same influence, the same healing abilities and everything. So what was interesting about all that is now that I've been doing healings and healings for years, what I've noticed is that different energies and angels and archangels and everything will come in. And lots of times I have to go back to the Doreen Virtue book and look up and say, well, why would Ariel be here? And I'll check the list and I'll see all the different things that, you know, Ariel is kind of branded, if you want to say, stereotype to work on. And sure enough, when I find out about something after the after the fact with the person, I'll see that it validates why that particular archangel is there. So they kind of come in as needed, and I kind of just leave the door open for that. Now, the other aspect of this is the whole idea about angels themselves. And angels themselves, in the simplest form, we can talk about that every individual has an angel. And we're going to talk in a minute about the difference between ancestors and angels and guides, because there's a lot of confusion, I think, with what people intermix or mix up these ideas about what they think all these different things are. Angels themselves, each person has an angel that is always with them. And in most cases, people will normally have two. And it's very interesting because you'll usually have one that's on your left-hand side and one that's on your right-hand side. And it'll even go as far in a lot of circumstances as kind of being the male and female energy aspects of you and your balance and what you're trying to achieve in your life. And these two angels will normally always be with you. They're kind of like there to assist you and help you with different aspects of your life. They're there if you believe in them or don't believe in them. They're always there with you. What's very interesting, as we'll do tonight, is we're actually going to do an exercise where we connect with our angels. And when we do that, we're going to go through the process of how to do that connection and how to, quote-unquote, have a relationship with those angels, so that we can communicate with them and get more guidance from them and everything like that. Now, as always, we're always reminded that we're not expecting the angels or anything like that to run our lives. They're more of like a resource, or I like to think of them as go-to people to help us with different aspects of what we need help with in life, in our lifetime. So you're not really looking to kind of turn your life over to them or expect them to kind of give you all the direction you need in your life, because that's not the reason why you came here and why you're having these life experiences. It's for all these beings to give you tons of information that basically makes it so that you can just sleepwalk through your life and not really work on anything. So those two angels are always with us. They're not at the level as archangels. Archangels, you can call in as you need them. You can call in any archangel you want at any time for any purpose, depending on what you want to add into your life. And the only thing you have to do to understand how to do that, besides understand the connection stuff I'm going to teach this evening, is that you just have to have your attention on them and know exactly like what they're about. So, you know, you really wouldn't know anything about Gabriel until you go to a book on spirituality and look up Gabriel and find out, well, why would Gabriel come in and help you? And each of the angels are specifically created for specific purposes or vibrations or intention. So let's talk about angels and what they are and what they're not. Except for a few exceptions of a couple angels that have actually walked on the planet, and of course there's tons of stories of angels intervening in emergency situations. In general, angels do not incarnate through past life or through lifetimes of experience like souls do. Angels were created by whatever you believe in and substitute in whatever you believe. I'll say the creator. Some people say God, Mother, Father, Earth, whatever your belief system is. And the creator created angels as a separate energy. So there's a couple different variations about what angels are. Angels were created by the Creator, and they have a specific purpose to help us in different things that we need help on. And that's why it helps if you understand it specifically what each of those archangels can be used for. And you can also understand that they have a lot of different concepts than we do. And we'll see a little bit about this when we talk about guides and the difference between a guide and an angel. So the first thing we want to talk about, which is a very big confusion for a lot of people, is a lot of people think, well, my great-great-grandmother is one of my angels. It's like my guardian angel. And that is never true, because souls that incarnate do not become angels. Angels are, like I said, a very specific energy. They're created for a very specific purpose. Now, that doesn't mean that your great-great-grandmother can't come in and help you or be there as an energy that's close to you. Lots of times when people pass over, those individuals or animals that cross over will stay very close to you for a number of years after they pass over. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that there's no concept of time for them. We only have time here on this planet so that we can see our progress as far as the different things that we're learning. So when someone passes over, they might be here 10 or 20 or 50 years. And to them, if you were comparing that to the time in heaven, if you want to call it the other side, that might be a day. So if you were trying to have any type of comparison, you could say that 50 years here is a day in heaven. And that's not really accurate either, but it's a good comparison just to kind of put it into framing, because a lot of people will say, well, what is the story with people who have passed over that are staying here and quote-unquote haven't passed over and are still ghosts and haven't crossed over? And isn't there a problem with that? And what if they're here for 500 years and stuff like that? Well, if you really think about it, to them, compared to the other side, that's probably, you know, 10 days. You know, so for them to hang out or do whatever as far as their closure, lots of times it's about someone who's passed over wanting to stay close to us because they want to give us support and they want to see us grow. Not that they can't do that from the other side, but sometimes they will not cross over for that very specific purpose. And I'm sure we can actually go more into that when I talk about mediumship and people have passed over and stuff like that during a different class. So we were going with the idea that angels are a separate energy. They haven't incarnated here, except for there's a few exceptions. They haven't really normally incarnated. They haven't been here. They haven't had the life experience. So lots of times, and it's not because of love or lack of love, but lots of times if you're going to like an archangel and you were communicating with them and saying, listen, I'm going through this crisis with my partner and I'm having these things, you know, first of all, they don't really have that experience. Of course, they want to love you, and they want you to be happy, and they want you to have love. But in general, they don't really have a life experience. And to them, they don't have the time frame either. So they're kind of like, well, wait a day, and you'll be over in heaven. That's, you know, 80, you know, that could be 60 years for you from now. And they'll be like, you know, wait a day. I'll go away. Don't worry about it. You know, so there's that, you know, it's not that type of stuff that's in place. So they generally will come in, they have a different energy, and they have a different purpose, and, you know, they, you know, it's not your grandmother, isn't one of your angels, or anything like that. So we kind of talked about a lot of those different things, because a lot of those are misunderstandings I think people have. They kind of intermix all the different terminology and stuff like that. I think most of the time when people talk about me having someone close to me as my angel, they're really talking about having them as just somebody that's close to you that could give you guidance. But as my friend John Holland would say, and I love the joke he talks about this, he says, you know, if Uncle Charlie was a finance guy and he's kind of near you after he passes over, you probably shouldn't be taking financial advice from him. Because just because he crossed over doesn't make him this huge enlightened being that has tons and tons of universal knowledge. You know, generally, they got pretty much what they carried over, and maybe there's a little bit more of the bigger picture, but in general, there's not like all of a sudden they have instant connection to every bit of knowledge in the universe where they can really help you. So, you know, it's kind of like that idea of, you know, being careful what you use people for as far as resources after they pass over. Lots of times when people talk about guardians, what they really are talking about is they're talking about guides. And what guides are is what I like to think of as like senior souls, older souls who probably have 50 or 80 lifetimes more than you in experience or whatever you're dealing with. So if you came into this lifetime to learn compassion or whatever it is that you're working on, you're going to find that you'll have a guide that probably has a lot of lifetimes of that experience. And really, for them to be a guide, they have to have, you know, a couple hundred lifetimes on the planet, lots of experience. What's very unusual from the studies from Newman's Journey of Souls or from some of the work from Brian Weiss on past life regression, like from Many Lives, Many Masters, we understand from looking at some of the case histories of hundreds of thousands of cases that we understand certain things about the way souls travel and how guides work and how they interact and how the whole thing works. And one of the things that's very interesting about that is most guides that are with you that are, and I'll talk about where they come from and how they work with you and stuff like that, they will come in and they'll be there to help you through different things that you need assistance on. And sometimes a lot of the guidance you get in your head is actually your guides talking to you through stuff like, don't go that way, you know, go this way. And they're kind of trying, they generally are kind of like, I like to think of them as the guidance counselor. They kind of know where you're going for your final graduation. They don't really care how you get there, but every once in a while, if you're supposed to be a plumber and you're off learning about AC, they got to kind of nudge you back onto the path because you're too far off from where you probably should be as far as your direction, as we call it, contracts. And one of the things that I was going to say about learning about working with guides is that guides, from what we know from all these studies, is that guides have normally shared a number of lifetimes with us, so we already have a relationship with them already. In most cases, they will not be a family member or an individual, even though certain individuals, what I would call a soul family, will normally travel with you from lifetime to lifetime and change responsibilities or roles based on where you're at. And a lot of that information comes from past life regression studies. And then we understand, well, you know, my father's my father now. In the previous life, he was my brother before that. In the previous life, he was my best friend. Before that, he was my mother. So you see male and female gender changes. You see different role responsibilities, and you see different people. But in general, you have about 150 souls that constantly will reincarnate with you through cycles and play different responsibilities. Well, you work with them for growth, and they work with you for growth. So there's kind of like a lot there. So a lot of people will talk about, well, I have my guardian angels. Well, yes, you have angels that are with you, but they're not your guide. Your guides are these separate souls that have been kind of assigned to you when you decided what it was that you wanted to achieve in this lifetime. So as you move into this and when you come into this lifetime, you decide what it is that you want to do. You're assigned a guide, and it's a mutual agreement, and they basically come in, and they're on the background, and they're basically what you hear in your head lots of times. And it's very hard to kind of distinguish between the guidance you get, which is your own intuition, your own higher self in some situations, and we talked about higher self last time when we talked about the connection to the higher, or what we call our other part of our soul that we still have a connection to, that higher level guidance, versus guidance that comes in from our guides versus our own intuition or our connection with everything that's going on around us. So, guides are assigned to us. We come in. They're basically with us from the day we die from the day we're born to the day we die. So lots of times, lots of times when I see somebody come in, I'll say, well, I see a couple angels around you. If they do any type of work in some special area, I'll notice that they'll have normally an archangel with them, not specifically right in that second, but I can see the energy in their field. So I'll say, okay, Raphael is around you because you do a lot of work with people in hospice or something that you wouldn't even think would be spiritual, it's just your normal day job. And then I'll say, okay, I see your guide or guide. Sometimes there's two. And then there'll be a specific guide that'll come in for a different reason. So as an example, as I was going through, you know, I learned Reiki. And when I learned Reiki and I got my second attunement, I felt a second guide come in and start working with me. Probably two and a half years later, when I was heading up to Omega to do my past life certification with Brian Weiss, I felt my Reiki guide leave me and a past life guide come in. So sometimes you'll get like supplemental staff that'll come in based on different things that you're working on. So it's always interesting to see with that. So before I move on to anything else, is there any questions about the difference between all those different classifications? It is very interesting because a lot of people will intermix them and everything like that. And you know, we could probably have a separate topic another night about how it's all one and we're all one anyway. So really, is there any difference? But I think the answer to that is that there's a difference because in our minds, because of how simply we think, you have to be able to distinguish between the fact that there's an archangel and an angel and a guide and a loved one, and that these are all different energies and different purposes and stuff like that. And our ability to work with all these different things is related to the fact that we can break that down in our minds, and it allows us to have that communication. Because otherwise, how would we grasp that really everything that exists everything that we are, including ourselves and what we think as an individual, is all one energy, that we are the creation, that we are all a single source. And I don't think a lot of people can grasp that. And I think there's parts of ourselves, I don't know what, if I want to call it the ego, that will even say there's parts of ourselves that doesn't want to relinquish who we are, even as a soul when we recognize ourselves as a spiritual being. Because there's part of us that kind of identifies with, well, I'm this type of being and I have these feelings and this is what I like to do to help people, and it could be a whole spiritual life. But there's almost a reluctance to say, well, I'm not willing to give that up to merge into everything. In recognizing that maybe we are already part of everything and we just have an illusion that we're separate. So we talked about all the different guides and angels and archangels and stuff like that. We talked about my first experience with angels. I was kind of mentioning that as I started to continue to do healing work, I would notice that certain types of energies would come in that are archangels, and I would actually have to go get the book and find out why they had come in, and then it would get validated afterwards that I would find out what was going on with the individual, and then it would make sense why that particular archangel would come in for that purpose. Just kind of moving through. All right, so now what I want to do is I want to talk about the angel connection process. So for you who are watching on the live stream or are, let me go grab a handout here. For you on the radio or for anybody who's on the live stream, you can actually get this handout off of the website. And as part of this, I want to kind of just talk about a little introduction that I wrote here, and then I'll kind of step through the process and we'll put on some music and we'll step through this so you can have this experience. When you connect with your angels, they will communicate with you in many ways. And a lot of this gets into the idea of how we develop. And, you know, I've done separate classes on psychic development, or as I call it, intuitive development, which has to do with really fine-tuning what I would call in women the woman's intuition, or the man, I would call it the gut feeling. And all people are intuitives. They're all psychic. It's just a matter of really paying attention and really seeing what's always around you and recognizing that what you're getting that you think is an illusion, a dream, you know, this concept you get about somebody by looking at them is actually true intuition that's coming through. And that intuition or that gift will come through as different ways. And when you get into learning about learning how to work with your intuitive gifts, you learn that there's different ways of learning or having it. Some people have all of them, some will have one or two or just one. And what I mean by that is that if I connect with somebody and I want to see some information about them, and this will connect into how we're going to connect with angels, lots of times when I come before somebody, I automatically have a knowing about something that's going on to that person. Of course, you have to clear your filters, do your personal work so that your own discriminations, your own filters aren't interfering with what you're interpreting with this person. So you can automatically have a knowing by being in the presence of somebody and actually know what I would call intuitive information about that person without putting down cards, without doing a reading, without knowing anything about that individual or even getting a question from them. You can automatically get information that comes through, and it comes through as a knowing. Sometimes, just like you have your own voice in your head, are in lots of situations, your guides that are talking to you or other guidance that's coming in. That voice in the head, which I like to call monkey chatter sometimes, sometimes you'll hear something and that thing that you hear in your head is actually guidance coming through that's telling you something about the individual in front of you. Sometimes you'll feel something as it relates to what's going on with an individual. Sometimes people can taste. Like they'll know, oh, if I feel something, like someone's sick in a certain situation, I can taste, like, you know, different irons in my mouth or something like that. So sometimes it'll come through as taste. So you have a feeling and you have a knowing, you have a hearing. Sometimes you see it almost like if you can close your eyes and imagine, like if you can close your eyes and imagine what your kitchen looks like, you can almost describe it to somebody because you have that picture in what I call your mind's eye. Well, lots of times your intuition can actually come through as images like that and give you information about a situation or about something that's going to happen. The reason why I mention this now is because a lot of this comes into play when you're communicating with your angels, as we're going to go through and doing this exercise. And that is, you'll either get a knowing, or you'll get a feeling, or you'll get a sense of something, or all those different things I talked about will be the different ways that you, as an individual, will connect and get information about an angel. So, as I said in the flyer, in some ways they will talk and you will hear them. This will be different from the voice inside of your head. You might just know that they are saying something, or they're saying something without words, but you know what it is. You might see or understand what they want to tell you. You might taste or feel in your body what it is that they want to show you. Each person is different, and no way is better than the rest. It's about what works for you. We also talk about the fact that, and a lot of people who do exercises grounding, exercises communications, asking for guidance or protection, a lot of people ask me, well, why is it that I have to do it every single day? Why can't I just say, you know what, I want to set an intention that the angels are going to come in and work with me to help my life be easy and for me to have guidance and for me to do the things that are the best for all people that I interact with for their highest good. That would be a really good intention to say, I want to do that, and I wanted to say that the angels are going to help me with that for the next 300 days. And the answer to that is that because free will comes into place, every day is like a brand new day. It's a new slate. It's a new way of approaching life. And every day brings a different situation in your life. And you don't want to put something in place that is kind of like a fit-all. You know, and a good example would be like, well, what if I want to bring an Archangel Michael to work with me every day? Well, maybe Gabriel needs to work with me tomorrow. Maybe Michael's not the right Archangel to work with me. So you don't want to kind of lock yourself into it. So the reason why I mention that is if you are asking for guidance or you are asking for assistance of your guides, your angels, your loved ones, whatever it is that you want to come in and support you, including asking the Creator or whoever it is that you believe in for assistance in your life, you have to ask every day. And it's basically, it's the way free will works. So I also talk about that, you know, people talk about it being like a muscle and you have to kind of develop it. Communication and working with angels is the same way, and that is each day you should try to communicate with them and each day you ask for their help. And this builds a relationship that continues to grow. And if you talk to people like my friend Francine up in Massachusetts, who does a lot of work with angels, and a lot of my other friends like Dr. Connie, who does radio show on angels on Thursdays, they'll tell you that the reason why they have such a strong relationship with angels and being able to use them for guidance and helping others is because they started with where we're starting now, which is that initial introduction and relationship, and they continue to build on it every single day. And as you build on it and build on it and build on it, it becomes more and more and more there. Before you know it, you sense the presence of them all the time. Before you know it, you feel their interactions and helping you in a lot of situations without you even asking. Not that they'll override what you're trying to do, but it gets to the point that they get a little bit more proactive and less reactive in you asking for help. So with that, I want to just go through the exercise. I'm going to put on some music, and I'm just going to ask everybody to close their eyes, and we'll just kind of go through this exercise together as we make this initial contact with angels. This technique is very unique. It was actually channeled to me from Archangel Michael. That means that I went into a meditation and basically was told what would be the best way of teaching people how to connect with angels and archangels and stuff like that. And this new technique is new. It's the first time that it's being introduced to the planet, and it's a great honor for me to be able to share this with you so that you can make it part of your lives. I like to say if it vibrates with you, that means, does it mean, does it fit with you? Does it feel right to you? So with that, I'm going to put on a song from Jonathan Goldman called Angelic Callings. And anybody who's familiar with Jonathan Goldman's music, make sure to check him out on the internet. He has an incredible amount of spiritual music that's out there. So what I'd like you to do is just close your eyes, and I'm going to go ahead and just step you through. And the nice thing about this is you can kind of read through this later in your own flyers and use this on a daily basis or whatever you want to. You can imagine it as like a meditation if you want to. So the way we start is we start by closing our eyes and taking a deep breath and just kind of relaxing, breathing out any type of stress or anything we've been dealing with from the day. So we go through this relaxation technique of just breathing in and out, letting go of any stress and everything like that. The next thing that we want to do is we want to put our right hands on our heart. And we want to imagine for a moment whatever it is that we love the most in this moment. It could be our young children. It could be someone we're with. It could be someone who's passed away. It could be a dog. It could be anything. It could be a beautiful place, a scene, a sunset. It's whatever it takes for you to go to the highest level and connection of love that you can feel in your heart in that moment. You want to just feel that in your heart as you open your heart to that feeling of that strong love connection you have. In the teaching area, we call this changing your vibration, moving you into higher levels of energy and stuff where you can actually connect with higher beings. We do this through love, and we do this through a higher vibration. So just imagining for a moment, holding in our hearts that thought. And once you have that thought in your mind, you can always return to it later just by assigning a word to it. You know, I like to use code words, so I'll say blue 7 or something, and that'll automatically take me back to the beagle I had as a young boy and how much I love that puppy. And by just saying that code word, it automatically takes me back to all the memories. It's almost like seeing a flash of every experience I ever had with that animal, and feeling all the love that I have and feeling my heart open right in that second. You know, you could simply call the name of whoever it is that you're thinking of and feel that love inside your heart. I want you to think of the fact that your angels are right next to you. The only thing that's in between you is something that looks like a thin wall. It's a different dimension, it's a different vibration, but the easiest way of thinking of it in this lifetime is to think of the fact that it's like a thin wall that separates you from your angels. In this situation with this guidance, we're particularly talking about the two angels that are with us, what some people would call their guardian angels, one on the right and one on the left. To move and connect with them, I want you to think about a large gap in the path or a trail that you're walking on, almost like it goes down into a deep canyon or ravine. I want you to imagine as you approach that path and you're walking that you see yourself on one side and you see your two angels on the other side of this gap. I want you to put a bridge of light across this canyon or gap or ravine, bridging the connection between you and your angels. This bridge is made out of pure white light or love. As you walk across this bridge, you can either meet your angels in the middle, you can have them come across to you, you can meet across with them. Whatever you want to do is you will see this in your mind's eye. You feel this connection with the angels and you feel the love that they have for you. It's so unconditional. You feel the connection. You have the understanding that they've always been with you for as long as you've ever existed, which has no beginning and has no end. As you walk across this bridge, you can feel how the energy feels as you approach these angels, one on your left and one on your right. You might see them, sense them, feel them, as we discussed earlier. So whatever works for you. You might just know that they're there without even seeing them. As your eyes are closed, I want you to ask in your mind's eye, inside of your head, or if you're alone, you can also ask this out loud. I want you to ask in your mind for your angels to step closer to you, for them to come up close to you so you can feel their energy right next to you. One at a time, I want you to ask each of them their names. First to the one on the left, first to the next to the one on the right. And within a second, you'll have a name appear. Now, it might be the name of your grandmother or one of your kids or your dog or something like that. So it's going to throw you off a little bit because you're automatically going to disregard it and say, well, that can't be the name of my angel. That's the same name as my partner. So lots of times that name is accurate right off the bat. For some people, you won't even get a name. You'll automatically just know them. You'll know their vibration, their energy, their color, their light. And that'll be the way you identify them, is through that feeling, through that connection with them. When you have a chance, after you come out of this, you will remember their names, and you can write them down on a piece of paper so you have them. You will know what their energy feels like. I want you to turn to the one on the left, and I want you to send love to that angel. I want you to love that angel with all the love that you have in the heart that you started with. I want you to send energy from your heart to, if you can imagine, the center heart of an angel. I want you to send energy to that angel. And then I want you to wait for a moment. And you're going to feel the energy from that angel come back to you, the one on the left-hand side. It's going to come back to you tenfold. You're actually going to feel that energy come back tenfold to you. As soon as you feel that energy come back, you can just simply say thank you. I want you now to turn to the angel on the right-hand side. I want you to send loving energy from your heart to the heart of that angel. Sending energy of love. And then pausing for a moment and surrendering and allowing the love from that angel to come back to you. Feeling it circle your entire body like a large white light. Feeling it go through all your body, all this love, coming back tenfold to you. Now that phase is finished, say thank you to the angel on the right. And now, if you'd like, I'd like to give you a second to ask whatever question is that you have in your mind. You can ask either of the angels or you can ask both of them for an answer. And simply, in your mind, simply ask the question. Say, I would like to know, for my highest good, what I need to know as far as this situation or whatever it is in my life that I want to have an answer to. And just listen very quietly, and that answer will come back to you from one or both of the angels. Once you have that, I want you to say thank you. Let them know how much you love their support. And ask them to help you each day, even though you have to ask for it when you get up in the morning. I want you in this moment to turn to each of these angels and ask them that you want to have a stronger relationship with both of them, that you want them to give you signs each day, and that you will talk to them and communicate with them more often. When you're done, depending on where you are, you can go back to your side of the bridge or go back to the other side of the path and your angels will go on the other side. But always know now that you have this connection of light and love that they will always be very close to you. And all you have to do is close your eyes, think of their name, and you can be able to communicate with them from this time forward. That you always have these connections with these angels, that they're always there loving you unconditionally, and to understand that you are never alone. And that ends our connection with angels. Thank you. So how was that? Excellent. So I hope everybody enjoyed that. And like I said, if you don't have the handout, you can get it off the website at www.markarawson.com. So with that, I want to basically do a pull of a card. And the first card I'm going to pull is just going to be a general reading for everybody that's on the screen and also on the radio. And the card I'm pulling, as far as what the angels want everybody to know at this time, is a card that says, you are a spiritual teacher and you have the ability to counsel others and help them awaken their spiritual gifts and divine life mission. I think a lot of people don't recognize that even though they're not quote-unquote spiritually in a spiritual job, that all of us, as we walk the planet on a daily basis, interact with people and change their lives. That we bring our light to whoever we interact with. That we bring our light into whatever job it is that we do. And that we are teachers and we are representatives of love and light at all times. And that's the message that the angels have for us for today. So with that, I'm going to actually go around the room and have everybody just pull a card real quick and see what else we have. Go ahead and just pull the card off the top there. And go ahead and take a go ahead and read that. Oh, you were meant to have two then. So go ahead and read both of those and see how that see how those cards apply to you at this point. And for the people that are actually listening on the radio and watching this on the stream, we basically just had each of the individuals in the room pull a card that they're reading for themselves to see how these messages apply and what the angels have to say to them for now. So we'll just let them sit with those. So as always, I have like a minute or two before we actually shut down the Ustream and also the radio show. So as always, if you have any questions about any of the stuff that we covered this evening, if you go to the Mark A. Rawson or the spiritualconnectionsradio.com websites, there is an email address at the bottom. Email me. Let me know whatever questions you have. I always love to get questions from you, so feel free to reach out to me there. Are there any questions from the room?
Please.
Yes. Yes, I see. We have the question that came up was, is do I actually see angels in the room that we're in? We actually have a couple archangels that are in the room right now. Ariel is here, Gabriel is here, and Michael is here. And I'm seeing a number of angels and guides with each of the people that are in the room with us right now. Any other questions? No? Okay, cool. So, as always, you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, and just a reminder again that we are going to have a special radio show on Saturday, July 27th, called The Star of David, which will go into planning different things and all the different things we talked about in the beginning. If you missed any part of this show, this and the Ustream video are available for replay by going up to the site, and you will see the videos that are posted there where the radio shows are available. Pretty much after the show ends, within 5 minutes, you'll actually see the show is available there for you to kind of go back and listen to. As always, if you want to find out more about our radio shows, you can go to www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And to keep track of any type of training events, services, or anything like that, including signing up for my newsletter where you get the Unity Breath Meditation I was talking about in the beginning, you can get that by signing up for my newsletter off of my website, which is www.markarawson.com. And we are just going ahead and just waiting for the radio show to count down. So I want to thank everybody for being here this evening. And thank everybody that's on our live stream and on our radio show. And with that, I want to say goodnight to everybody. Thank you.